going on, guys? Dustin with the LFG 1904 show. Reconstruction Rescue is your best choice for flood restoration services in San Diego County. With years of experience in the industry, their dedicated team of project managers will work hand in hand with you from start to finish, specializing in home insurance water damage claims. They take on the headache of dealing with your insurance company so you don't have to. Call this number today for a free estimate. 760-891-9919. Once again, that number is 760-891-9919. Reconstruction Rescue. Y'all know the deal.
Ready?
So are you sure?
Yeah.
Are you sure you're ready?
Yeah. I mean.
Yeah, you're ready.
Yeah, I'm ready.
Let's kick this motherfucker off, would you?
Yeah, let's go. Yeah!
Welcome back, guys. Welcome back to the LFG 1904 show. My name is Dustin. And today's guest is my sister. We're going to talk about Maui and the fires because she lived through them. And I think this is what's really cool about doing podcasts is it doesn't have to be the normal podcast that I talk about. Although she's probably had a rough life. And, you know, there might have been some childhood abuse there. But, hey.
For another day.
That's another show. I think this is just going to be interesting because, you know, for me, I know that you were there when all of the fires happened.
Mm-hmm.
And how traumatic was that? I mean, shit, how traumatic is it still today? Like, I just watched a video of, like, the buildings that are still just demolished, you know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was the most deadliest fire in over a century. So that's saying something, and especially being there and seeing the flames and like escaping. Like, I mean, yeah, it's like something that definitely, I don't know how I'm like coping as well as I am, mm-hmm. but like, I mean, all we have to do is keep going forward, but it's definitely like a very traumatic thing that's not a lot of people go through. So mm-hmm. it's hard to find, you know, like people to relate to, you sure. know? And so being on Maui, we kind of called it like the melting pot. Everyone's from everywhere. You know, I have friends from Montana, Kentucky, like New York. And so basically after the fires, you know, everyone's scattered, you know, pretty, I think I have about maybe 10 friends who are still there. And, and we'll get to that, like their living situation, but, coming back to San Diego, and it's good to be with family, obviously, but it's not something I can like relate to people with, you know. But it was really scary.
Unless they were in a situation like that,
like, I mean, a similar situation.
Where were you at during the Witch Creek fire that happened here in San Diego?
I was here in RB. Mm-hmm. I you know, so that's funny you bring that up. I remember I was a lot younger. Mm-hmm. Maybe sixth grade. I remember evacuating and, you know, being in the back seat and, you know, my parents, you know, the windshield, it's, you know, ash and gray and you can barely see. It feels apocalyptic,
sure.
if you will.
Sure.
So I remember that feeling. And the day of the fires, I had that same feeling come back. I was like, right. oh. And so, you know, Maui, especially like the neighborhood I live in, we have fire seasons, just like, you know, everywhere has, you know, their seasons of weather. But they always put it out. They always get it out. It never crosses over like the highway. But for some reason, the day of the fires, there was, you know, a couple fires kind of in the same place that they always are. Mm-hmm. But it felt different. It felt very panicky and scary. And so, yeah, the day of the fires, I had to get up at like 5:30 to bring a friend to the airport in the morning, which is on the other side of the island. So it's about a 45-minute drive. So we head out about 6, and there's, you know, just traffic and it's crazy. It's just hectic outside. And I'm like, the sun's barely up. Like,
right.
It just felt weird, you know? And I dropped my friend off at the airport, and, you know, I mean, at that time, it's just straight shot there and back.
Sure.
but I was stuck for hours. And I'm like, what is going on? Like, this is not normal. Even if there is a fire, like, you know, I was there for almost 5 years. So it wasn't normal. And basically, at the very end of, like, the only, like, highway, freeway we have, it's two lanes. That's, you know, it. I'm at the very end. That's my exit. I get off. And I get back, and it's blocked off. Cops completely blocked it off. So I rolled down my window, and I asked the cop, I was like, well, how do I get home? Mm. She's like, I don't know what to tell you. But I'm like, what do I do with that? So I pulled into the Ross parking lot, and I'm, you know, circling, and I'm like, all the power lines are down. No one has cell service. And I'm like, okay. So I had to kind of like do a couple, you know, turnarounds and just in the parking lot. And I'm like, okay, what do I do? I get back on the freeway, and I go down two more exits, which is like where the fire happened, but it hadn't happened yet, you know, but it's, they let me in. And so it was really silly how it already was starting.
Was this before the fire? Because there was a warning for a hurricane, right? Or something like that first.
So like we get the alerts, you know, on our phones, like, right. And you know, on the news and whatnot, but it's the season. So it wasn't anything new, but the winds that day were 85 miles an hour plus. I mean, I'll show you a video. It was, you know, I have a little Toyota Corolla, and I was like, this thing's about to take off. I was like, oh my God, I don't know. So that in itself was scary. So I think that's why they could not get any of the fires out, which they usually do. They're always smaller. It's up in this neighborhood called Waikuli. They're always like up the hill, and they're usually really good, you know, but because of the 85 mile per hour winds, it was like, we didn't have the hurricane. We just got hit with the winds from it. I don't remember the name of the hurricane, but so that, you know, that in itself, it was pretty scary. And, as I get right into town, all the police are directing everyone into Lahaina. Mm. That's where it all burned down.
Right.
And, you know, it's actually, thank God, a kind of a coincidence, but I was moving that week. Right. I had just got a really cool studio. I was really excited. Just signed the lease like the day before. I had thankfully only moved a couple boxes of clothes. I didn't, you know, lose all my belongings, but I had been staying with a friend who lived up north. So that's the only reason why I wasn't staying in the actual huge, you know, fire area, if you will. But yeah, I'm, you know, it's early in the morning, and I'm like, they're directing everyone that way into the flames, basically. I mean, it wasn't fully engulfed yet, but sure. It just seemed really odd. And I don't know, if you live in Hawaii, you know, like, once a month they sound the alarms, the sirens for, they say it's for tsunamis, but it's for natural disasters in general.
Right.
That's to sound the alarms. That's to get people out of their house. And it's always on this, I think it's the second Tuesday of every month. No alarms were sound, like nothing.
I actually did hear that.
Nothing.
So BJ Penn, you know who that is?
No.
He's an MMA fighter, and he's from the island. And now he's like, he was running for governor, and he's doing all these things. But
oh, okay. Yeah,
He went on Joe Rogan's podcast, and he was basically saying like how there wasn't, and normally they'll get, you guys will get, you know, alerts on your phone too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, that was like delayed.
Oh, no.
I guess like
there was no phone use at all.
Oh, okay.
From the night, okay, I guess I didn't say this before. The night before, about 5 a.m. previous night, all the power lines were down. You could not use your phone. You couldn't get a hold of anyone. No internet, no nothing.
So was that the power lines down due to the wind? Or did they shut everything off?
It wasn't shut off from, like, people. It was because of the weather.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they went down. Got and it. So we already really didn't have much contact. You know, we were like, okay. But, like, you know, like, it's not the first time we've had our power out for a night, or the phone line's gone down for a night. Like, it's happened for like a day, but there was just something about this day. I was like, this isn't good. Mm. Like, this is different. And so we had already not had any cell service since the previous day. And it was due to the winds. And I actually saw one go down as I was driving. And thank God I didn't hit anybody, but it was really like apocalyptic feeling, you know? And I'm glad I was going the other direction is all I'm saying. Like, right. You know, and
so do you know why they were moving people into that area? Did they think let's just guess, right? I mean, I'm assuming that they're thinking that the fire was going to possibly go the opposite way. Like, it doesn't make a lot of sense why they would bring people to Lahaina.
It made no sense. It was, I can't even describe the feeling. It felt eerie and weird and bad. And I just, I'm, you know, a lot of people ask me about the conspiracies. Like, well, what do you believe? What do you believe? And I was like, I mean, I was there, but I don't have any answers.
What are some of the conspiracies?
You know, people say things about like lasers, you know, like I didn't do too much research on it, but like, you know, lasers were shot in and.
And that's what started the fire.
Yeah. Or it's just like
I actually heard of that too.
Yeah. Or like it was just completely all like on purpose from the government. Like, you know, and I'm like, I don't know. Mm. It's one of those things. I can't even describe it to you. Yeah. It didn't make any sense because where the fires were, where the wind was going, it was blowing that direction. You know, and there were not enough cops around to like evacuate people. Mm-hmm. You know, when it really was going down, like when it's like, oh, it's hitting the fan now. Mm-hmm. It was completely, I don't know, unprofessional from like law force. Does that make sense? You know, sure. Like we didn't have any help.
Right.
There was not enough help at all, which was really unfortunate. But that, you know, seeing that in the morning, them directing them that way, you know, what do I know?
Right.
You know,
right.
I work in the restaurant industry. I'm like, I'm not going to tell you what to do. I'm not going to act like I know anything.
Right.
But I was like, oh, well, just let's see what happens. And I was fortunate enough, like I said, to be staying just a little bit up north. And I want to say it's like a less than 15-minute drive. And I was staying at a friend's house while I was moving. And even from there, which was less than 10 miles, I could see the whole entire sky is glowing. Mm. And we had a group of friends together. We just happened to run into each other. Because like I said, no one has any contact with anyone.
Right.
You know, I had ran into some people at the grocery store because, I mean, now everyone's going crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, it's that, you know.
Yeah, you have no internet, no phone. Like
everyone's clearing out the grocery stores and, you know, everyone's panicking. And I ran into some friends and so, which was good because I was able to be with a good solid, like, you know, 6-7 people. And we were just looking at the sky. And
what were you feeling though? Like, What was your thought process during that time? Did you didn't have anybody? And
if I were to have been alone, it would have been a whole different scenario. So having the opportunity to be with friends was life saving because it was just so much uncertainty.
Sure.
And so we're all thinking like the same thing. We're asking each other the same questions, like, what, you know, what's going on? Like, you know, how bad is it? Blah blah blah. And it happened so fast. That's why so many people died there. And like I said, there was not enough like law enforcement to warn, you know, like
and no buzzers went off. Nope, nothing. So what was the reason behind that? Do you know?
So I don't know the reason, but the guy who,
what have you heard about that?
So the guy, I don't know his name, but the guy who was in charge of that was his job, resigned 2 weeks after.
2 weeks after, right?
Because that was supposed to be his job. And they, at first, were trying to say, it's only for tsunamis. And we're all like, bull. OK, Can I cuss?
Absolutely.
Bull fucking yeah, shit, dude. You. It's for natural
disaster.
This is disaster.
Called Let's Fucking Go podcast.
I know. I shouldn't have asked. Anyways, but it's like, it's not for tsunamis. When's the last time Hawaii had a tsunami? It's for natural disasters yeah. in general. It's to get people out of their house when something's going down. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right, right.
So
I always heard
he got bullied out of it. And so he resigned and disappeared, basically.
Yeah, I did read that too. I just didn't remember until you start talking about it. But I mean, those also those sound horns are for like war stuff. I mean, for Christ's sake, you know, Pearl Harbor got nailed, you know, so
right.
the every single island there yeah. is a fucking target.
What's the point of having them if, you right. know, and
yeah, I would love to know actually, and maybe there is something out and maybe I can educate myself more, but I do remember hearing like he said, fuck it, I'm done. And maybe it was because he felt guilt. I don't know.
He's getting
know?
Harassed.
Oh, he was.
Like, bad. Like, I mean, I'm right. sure he was getting death. I mean, people died. Kids died. Like, kids were not even in school yet.
I know.
You know, like, kids were home alone and their parents were at work. You know what I mean?
What so time this, was the fire at?
It was like a whole day. There was multiple different little fires. So, like I said, like, when I did that airport run and I came back, yeah. So this is like, at that point, there was like two like kind of, you know, little fires up Waiheke'uli. And, you know, now I'm thinking like it's about to be 8 a.m. But through the day, they just kept progressing and
getting bigger. But they started in the morning, though.
Yeah, but they're kind of like pockets, if you will, like in like the hills and stuff. And
so it's interesting to think. Maybe the winds knocked down some power lines and then that's yeah. why they're scattered, right? I mean, yeah. or there could be a fucking laser. You know, we don't know.
That's the thing is like,
there could be somebody, the government's trying to kill everybody. I
don't put it past them. Yeah. At first, yeah, I was like, at first I was annoyed. I was like, no, there weren't any lasers. I was there. But then like, the more I think about it, I'm like, well, actually, how do I know? Yeah, I mean, I know. Would I have seen the laser? It's very possible that could be true.
Yeah.
That's the thing with conspiracy theories. Like, you know, it's you don't very know. Possible.
Just put the fucking tinfoil hat on and go with it.
The government is trying to kill us off. I mean, you know, fuck. Mm. Anyways. But yeah, it was just these little pockets of it. And it really was the wind. And then there was just this one specific power line that went down. That's the one that really started in Lahaina that wiped it out. And it was just so fast. You know, like I said before, like people just did not have time to get out. And right. like the, you know, like the elderly, the children, and kind of an eerie side note. One of my managers, he's born, raised, his next door neighbor is an elderly woman. And he was like, you know, banging on her door. He's like, you know, trying to make sure she was getting out because she sure. lives alone. And she... also born and raised, she shook her head. She said, nope, I'm dying in Lahaina. This is my house of generations.
Wow, I just got goosebumps.
I do. Oof. I have a high of them too. That's she crazy. Would not leave. And wow. he's, I mean, he has a kid. So he's like, I mean, I'm going. With
I gotta go.
Kid. I gotta go. Yeah. You know, he tried. And like, that's another like heartbreaking thing is Lahaina is so special beyond words. It's hard to, it's so historical. And it really was a magical place. And that, so like that being said, like people will just didn't leave their houses. They're like, I'm dying. This is my house of, you know, generations. And they're like, nope.
I'm not leaving.
This is it. Yeah.
So realistically, you know, not to defend any law enforcement because I'm not the hugest fan, but they maybe just, they could have imposed that, but then people would have still said the same thing. I'm not leaving.
Right. Oh, what were they going to do anyway? They weren't even freaking there.
Wow.
You know what I mean? It's like, yeah, they went around a couple, you know, they went around and, you know, set a couple things out of the car, like drove around, like, but it was not enough.
Not enough.
Like, absolutely not enough.
They were clearly unprepared. Which is nuts to think about because so many awful things have happened. Not so many. One. In particular, when Japan came over and bombed the fuck out of those islands, you
Literal
know, or that
Pearl
island.
Harbor.
Yeah, so you would think that they would be really, really equipped and, like, ready for action.
Right.
Because that shit could happen at any moment.
That's funny. Okay, so when you mentioned that, one of my girlfriends, Her and I were really good friends. Mm-hmm. Her boyfriend lives on Oahu, the neighboring island, because he's in the military. He's a pilot.
Sure.
He's the one that drops the water off, you know, on the helicopter or whatever the fuck. You know what I'm talking
sure.
about. And so they were dating for like 5 years, whatever, basically the whole time I was living there. And now she lives there, yada, yada. He calls, like, whoever he can, his, like, you know, top commander or whoever. My terminology is not correct. But you know what I'm saying?
Captain. Sure.
Yeah, captain. He's like, I know Maui, like, the back of my hand. Let me help. And sure. they're like, nope. They wouldn't let him help. They wouldn't let anyone help. We had no help. Like, the police barely did what they did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, after that, we had no help.
Wow.
We literally had to come together as a community and, like, feed each other.
Right.
I gave some of the last of my clothes to people who were, like, just laying on the street, you know? It's like there was just no support, which is crazy. And so the night it's happening, like, the fires are actively happening. Obviously, I'm already safe. I'm good. I'm with, you know, a couple friends, and we don't know the severity of it. You know, we're all just saying the same thing. Like, oh, my God, like, hopefully it's not bad. Mm. Never in our entire lives would we think Lahaina would be gone. Mm-hmm. And, you know, time goes on and it gets late. And I end up going to the house I'm actually staying at. And just no one knows anything, right? It's just really eerie. Everyone's walking around. There's no lights, you know. And it comes around at 4 in the morning. Nobody can sleep. Everyone's just like, what the fuck is going on? My friend Sierra and I, who I was living with, we walked outside of our neighborhood and the National Guard pulls up. I beelined it for him. And I was like, you have to tell me something. Like, what? And he just said, Lahaina's gone.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what? Mm. He's like, no, Lahaina's gone. Go home. Mm. He's like, don't go anywhere. I'm like, okay, I don't know. Like,
you didn't even probably really know what that meant, right? I mean, gone. What do you mean gone?
Like, exactly. It's like saying, fuck, San Diego's gone. Mm-hmm. You know, that's like, that was our town. Obviously, it's very, it's a lot smaller. But, sure. you know, it's like, it's sure. that same, like, what do you mean it's gone? Mm-hmm. No. I thought maybe, like, half.
Sure.
Oh. He was right.
Yeah.
Completely demolished.
Yeah, it was definitely annihilated.
And, like, what kind of sucks for me, my situation is because I was in the middle of moving that week, I wasn't on any, like, technical documents, so I got denied any federal money. Like, I mean, I did get unemployment eventually, but I didn't get any of the handouts, like FEMA and, like, all those things because I couldn't prove that I was living in Lahaina. Wow. I'm like, well, so my house burned down. But I still get denied, like, you know, the help.
So the studio was in Lahaina that you're mm-hmm. moving to?
Yes. I basically moved in, like, a box or two of clothes.
Sure.
Thank God, you know. I mean, like, timing is everything, I guess. And, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm thankful for that. Even if all my stuff was there, I'm just glad that I'm alive.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? At the end of the day, like, stuff is replaceable. But, yeah. I was so stoked. I'm like, yes, finally living on my own.
Yeah, right.
My own place. And
in Lahaina.
Yep.
So yep. Where were you living at on the island before that?
Well, so I lived there almost 5 years. So I lived at a couple different places. So sure. Where I was staying was in Napili, which is up north. That's where the fire was not affected. I lived there a couple times. I've lived in Lahaina a couple times. I just, okay. the last place I lived at, that burned down.
Right.
And, I remember driving into the fire zone the day after before it got really, like, strict and shut down. We drove past my old house and I saw, like, my old bed frame.
Wow.
And like the base of the toilet. That was all that was left from, like, my old house. I was like, nope, that was my room.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, fires are just something that's really scary.
And it jumped.
Right.
Some houses completely untouched. Yeah. And people are trying to tell me, oh, it depends on the color of the house. I'm like, no, you're an idiot. They're all different colors and they're all randomly untouched.
Right.
You know, and the thing with Lahaina is like every house is different. It's you know, yeah.
It's very, very unique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Historical.
So,
and
so, I mean, it's crazy to think about that you could have been there. I mean, obviously, thank God that you weren't, right? But I mean, you could have been living there when that something like that happened. And
well, I went back because the lady who was renting the studio to me, she has about, I think her daughter's six. I could tell she just, I'm not going to say not all the way there, but I had a feeling to like go back and check on her. Mm-hmm. And going back to like the fires in San Diego, I had that feeling like really early on before shit hit the fan too bad. Like I just knew. So I got into town and I went back and I knocked on her door and I said, hey, I just want to make sure you and your daughter like have bags packed. Like you guys should be ready to go. Mm-hmm. And she's like, no, this happens every year. And I'm like, I know I've lived here 5 years too. Like I get it. You might have lived here longer, but I don't know. I just have this feeling. And I was like, just be ready to go.
Yeah.
And she kind of was like, oh, I don't know. Mm-hmm. And then I left. And then obviously, you know, we couldn't talk to anyone for, you know, over a week. And then I finally heard back from her and she's like, you saved our lives.
Wow. Because they left.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
She's like, I wasn't even going to think about it.
Right.
I just was like, I just had that feeling.
Yeah.
And I was trying to call people and, you know, no luck. I knocked on a couple of friends' doors, but they're already gone. Thank God.
Yeah.
It's just, I don't know. I just knew. I was like, this is bad.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
Yeah, it was a fast-moving fire. I mean, the videos that everybody did see were completely tragic. I mean, you had people that were jumping into the ocean for safety. I mean, that's wild.
My coworker, he was one of the head chefs at my old restaurant. His grandma, pushing 90, survived. She jumped into the water and swam for 15 hours.
Oh my God.
And she's by herself.
Wow.
Yeah. That's like the shit people were going through. Like, I don't know if my grandma's alive. Like, right. I mean, and I thank God none of my like, close friends, you know, passed away, but there were people that, like, I knew.
Yeah.
That, you know, were just local. And I'm like, fuck, like, he's gone. Mm. He's gone. And yeah, people were jumping in the water. Like, yeah. I'm just really thankful that that wasn't my situation. Like, I'm glad that I just happened to be, like, staying in a, you know, in-between place, you know, and that was not affected. But right. That's the stuff I can't imagine. And like I said, like, the kids weren't still in school yet. So it's like there are these kids left home alone. Like, you know, they didn't. What?
Do you know the numbers of how many people died?
I don't believe what they say is true. It's over. It's in the hundreds.
Right.
But they were going back and forth like, oh, 78, 95, 82. I'm like, what the how do you go back? So, I mean, I think legitimately there's a little bit over 100.
That's a lot.
Like
that's
identified though.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think there's more. And, you know, I think because they know they royally fucked up, like, it shouldn't have gotten to that level, you know? Right. I mean, like, the fire's going to happen, right? And that's not something you can stop, but so many lives could have been saved, and I think they know that. And I just have a feeling that the numbers are not accurate of how many people are deceased from, you know?
Let's see just why. We'll hit up the old Google real quick.
Old Google.
Because let's see.
I know, I should have these facts ready, but
the mainstream media is always going to say.
Yeah.
You know, something that's probably not true, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. Fire death toll. So it was raised to 101.
101. Okay. That's, I was about to say, it was like right over 100.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and they, on the side of the road, like the, kind of like the main road, they did build like a really nice kind of memorial thing for everyone, like crosses and all that. And, but literally, it was the most tragic, but also the most beautiful thing to see is like a community come together like that. Mm. We had nobody. And it was crazy to see how everybody came together. Like, we would just be walking down the street and I'd see a friend like, hey, we got a generator at our house. Do you need anything? Like, you know, like everyone's just coming together.
Yeah.
It was crazy. And like,
humanity is pretty cool sometimes, you know, when people
I have goosebumps everywhere.
When there's not people looting and
it was
like
sick,
you know, doing like things that.
Yeah.
And who knows, that could have been the case because, I mean, we've seen disasters happen where people are taking advantage of people, right? Yeah. But it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
You know, I lived in Ramona when the fires happened, both fires, and then the Cedar Fire was the first fire.
Yeah.
And there's nothing. I mean, my house never burned.
Yeah.
But I had friends, you know, the same situation like you.
Yeah.
And, you know, people that you know that couldn't get out, you know, there's the... an area in San Diego County, the Indian Reservation of Barona. And I actually, one of my friends that I grew up with, his mom was driving out of the fire and she died in her car.
Oh my God.
On a dirt road, like trying to evacuate. That has to be, I mean, to me, I'd much rather, there's so many ways to die, right? But being burnt alive is just not one of them.
I saw multiple dead bodies of people hanging out of their cars. I saw people floating in the water.
Wow.
I'll need therapy. And I am starting.
Yeah, I was about to say. That's probably pretty good.
It's like one step at a time. But like I saw things that people will never see in their lifetime. You know, it didn't look real. It looked like a movie scene. Dead, like dogs burnt to crisps on the sidewalk. Cats, like, but like, what really got me was seeing like limbs out of cars. And I was like, oh, I'm turning around. I can't. Right. I've seen enough.
It's like definitely like a war scene.
It's tragic. And it's just car after car after car after car. Just everyone's trying to get out.
Yeah. So, you know, in this article, it says more than 2,000 structures were burned during the fire. According to Maui County officials, it left 7,000 people in need of shelter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, honestly, that seems like a lot.
We took in 10 people that night. And, you know, it's funny, I was, like I said, I was in the middle of moving. So, for 3 weeks, my girlfriend and I were just sharing a room. We're like, we'll save money for a month, you know. So, we had a roommate, Ethan. He had no idea any of this is going on because he slept all day.
Wow. Slept right through the fire.
Yeah. And so, he knew something was up, obviously, because the power's out, you know. Mm-hmm. But he didn't know the severity of it. Everything's going down. Shit hit the fan. We took in like 10 people because we had this huge couch, you know. And I had some friends. They worked at the Dragon Fruit Farm. So that's where they all live. They had to evacuate. Long story short, he you know, he gets all mad. He's like, this isn't a shelter. And I was like, Ethan, Lahaina just burnt down. And he was like, what? So we took in 10 people that night. I mean, everyone is just like survival of the fittest. Crazy people are sleeping on on the sidewalks. Like, it's a crazy thing to see, like pure panic.
Yeah,
you know,
did the hotels end up opening up for people that run the street?
Yeah, eventually? So pretty much they were just trying to get the tourists out. You know, you have to go.
Sure.
Like, you have to leave. And I'm pretty sure
What's going on, guys? Dustin with the LFG 1904 show. Proud to announce our partnership with Law Tigers. If you have been in a motorcycle accident, let's get you the compensation you deserve today and get you back on the road. Go ahead and call this number, 858-306-1986. Once again, that number is 858-306-1986. Law Tigers, nationwide. Doesn't matter where you're at. Call that number. LFG.
Most, if not all, were like, oh, yeah, we got to go. Like, duh. You have, sure. Yeah. But I have a couple friends who are still living in hotels. Wow. Long-term rentals that's been the big issue in Lahaina's. You know, people don't have anywhere to go. People are still homeless. I have friends, like, still in the same hotel. Mm. All over different areas of the island, and it's just ridiculous.
It's shocking to me that it's still when was the fire?
They were gonna kick everyone out. So every month they panic. They're like, they're gonna kick you out, they're gonna kick you out. And then because of all the protests, because of all like the community coming together and standing up, they're still able to stay. But it's like a month by month thing. Like there's, you know, I think now it's a little bit better. Like they have little like 6 month locked in things now.
Right.
But in the beginning, it was like you're living like day by day. Are they going to kick us out? Like I just was lucky enough to have a friend to stay with.
Yeah.
I lived in my friend's living room on an air mattress for months. I was thankful, you know. Shout out Noreen.
Yeah. You weren't homeless.
She took me in. She didn't even know me. But
really?
She took in a coworker of mine. So it worked out like that. But yeah, I lived in her living room on an air mattress for months. And I'm just glad I didn't have to deal with like the hotel drama because they're, you know, all the rules and they might kick you out any day. It's just crazy how much help like the government is just not given to Lina at all. They're going to give all this money, billions of dollars to Ukraine and other places, but a place that is the United States, they just forgot about. Nobody talks about it anymore.
Yeah, nobody does.
Yeah.
I mean, the president showed up like fucking 8 months or something crazy.
He probably didn't even know he was there. I'm going to be honest. He literally showed up. My friend Paele, he's kind of been like the head like activist, if you will. You know, he's really involved with all of everything, even prior to the fires. He met him, and he was like, it was like nothing. He was like, hey.
Yeah, there wasn't that much support.
What did he do? Yeah, he just showed up. He didn't do anything.
That's what a lot of times politicians do. I can tell you right now, my company that I work for, Home Depot, is a fantastic one because they did so many things for the community. Like we had like top executives of the company fly in there.
Mm-hmm.
And
To Maui.
The only reason why I know this is because we were supposed to have like a big, big walk at my particular store.
Yeah.
And every single executive, I'm talking like CEO, they all flew into Maui and like donated a whole bunch of things for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that Home Depot, it's like any sort of thing that goes on, you know, some sort of travesty, like they're always there, like floods, fires, tornadoes, whatever the fuck, you know.
Well, and that's fucking respectable. And thank you. You know what I mean? Like, and so appreciative of that. And like, I don't have, you know, obviously all the details. And I'm sure there's other companies. There's a lot of people who helped and donated and stuff. And couldn't be more thankful for that. But we survived on our own, dude.
Yeah.
Like,
the first couple of weeks was really the community, right?
And, you know, so there was this place, we call it, it's Lower Road, it's Esterns, but there's this like local house, like right on the water. Hmm. Like I would never step foot there if I wasn't invited, you know,
sure.
But they have beach access, like this little beach access. They were probably the first biggest like hookup for boats coming in and delivering supplies. They had a friend who was a captain. Mm-hmm. And would go to the other side of the island because everything is on the other side of the island. Costco, Target, like we don't have any. All we have is Safeway, like in Lahaina. You know what I mean? So we got a couple boat, you know, distributions, and then they shut it off.
They shut it off.
Coast Guard was like, nope, you can't do that. They're like, we need supplies. They weren't letting people back and through. You know, Lahaina. They're like, if you don't have a Lahaina ID, you cannot go to the other side. But if you do, you can't come back.
Interesting.
You know, and so it was ridiculously hard to get supplies. And so my ID burned. So I'm like, I have to stay or otherwise I'm stuck on the other side, you know?
You're not going to be able to come back.
One of my friends, Bryce, he's the one that does all my tattoos. He was a huge factor. He just did, I mean, loads after loads of Costco back and forth. So, like, I mean, the biggest thing I could do is just send money. Yeah. I mean, I had no money. Like, my stepdad sent me money. Like, my whole family were sending me money. I was giving it to him because he's actually getting supplies and bringing it to people who need it.
Right.
Like, people, if they didn't die from the fire, they were dying because they had nothing, you know? And, like, the government was like, no, you can't do that. They made it so hard to survive, which is just baffling to me. That's where I'm like, I don't know.
Right.
You know?
I know. I mean, that would be a question for me. And it's now I'm just kind of thinking outside the box of like, I know that there's people that have a better knowledge of what happened and what's going on. And like, I'm just curious to even hear what they would have to say, you know, like even somebody in government too.
Yeah.
Because that's always fascinating to me. Like, oh yeah, well, let me hear some bullshit.
Right.
Please.
It's literally been, it's just been a constant struggle. A constant struggle. And, you know, like I said, my friend Paele, I used to work with him, but he's high up in there. Like I'm pretty sure he met The Rock and Oprah. They did give a big $10 million donation. So I at least got to see some of that. Everyone was getting these $1,200 checks, but I'm getting distracted. He's up there. Jesus. But he's up there, and I definitely can somewhere, you know, give a link to his video that he sent me, and he's for the people, you know?
Right.
You know, it's ridiculous how it's just been forgotten about.
Right. Still.
We were talked about for maybe a week.
Yeah, I know. That's funny. Not funny, but I just watched a video, probably on TikTok, but it was somebody that was walking through Lahaina. He was walking through Lahaina, and it was still, first of all, the fucking tree, what's the tree called that's there? Lahaina tree.
The banyan tree.
Right. So they were like saying, oh, it's growing back. How wonderful, right? But meanwhile, everything around that entire area was still burnt, no construction. Like, where is the resources? So that would be my question. Would be like, how come we're not rebuilding?
It's a huge issue. And like, there's just not enough people, not enough resources. There's a whole water issue, and they don't know what to do with all of the crap, you know, all of the remnants, you know, burnt shit. And they're trying to dump it in Oluwalu, which is like, I think it's a 100-year-old reef. Like, it's should be untouched, you know, sure. And they're just trying to like dump it in like the canal over there that's gonna just head straight into that water. And I don't know, they can't get it together. I just, you know, it just baffles me. Like, they don't have enough resources to get rid of it, and they don't know what to do with it. They're gonna destroy the oldest reef in all of Hawaii.
That doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't. Yeah.
What made you decide to move back?
Well, I had been thinking about it prior for a while. Mm-hmm. You're a big reason. You have children with my sister.
Sure.
You know, and, you know, my other brother, Johnny, you know, he's having kids. I'm sure, you know, things are happening, you know. Yeah, I miss family. Yeah. Really is that I miss family. And, you know, living in Hawaii is like a dream, but it almost felt like this long, I'm not going to say vacation, because I did work really hard. I made a lot of money. I mean, not a lot, but the most I've ever made, you know? Sure, you sure. know what I mean? Yeah. And then, like, you know, but it was cool for my 20s. It was cool for the age. And, you know, it's like I turned 28 and I'm just like, I just didn't see myself meeting the person I want to be with. I just had other things that I want for my life, and I just didn't see it happening there. I mean, hey, maybe I'll go back. I don't know.
Right.
But mainly as I just wanted to be with family. But it was really hard to pull the plug.
Right.
It was like, and then, you know, if I hadn't have got that studio apartment before it burned down, if I hadn't have got that, I probably would have been, you know, in action of trying to move back. Mm-hmm. But then I got that really cheap, and I was like, oh, maybe I should stay. And then it burned down. I'm like, maybe I should not stay.
Right. So there's definitely some signs. Well, family definitely.
It was a push. Yeah.
Family is definitely important. I mean, you did have a lot of fun while you were there for
5 years
of your life. And it's pretty, I've said this to you before, it's pretty remarkable that you can do that, because everybody is so close to family and you're just like, peace. You know, I'm going to go try something for myself and do something for myself.
Yeah.
And not to mention, too, I mean, I'm just going to bring it up. You moved there with a boyfriend, and then you guys broke up.
I know.
And then there was like a whole thing with that.
Yeah, and you run into each other.
You run into each other. It's a very, very small island. Yeah. And for you to still stick it out and just keep, you know, working really hard. I mean, it's really, it's really sad. That it's a tragic thing that happened, and a lot of people died. And
you know, the history, you know, Lahaina was the capital of like Hawaii back in the day. You know, it just, like you said, lives, the history, it really was a remarkably special place. And, you know, I I would have friends often visit. You know, everyone's like, I want to go to Hawaii and stay with you for free. I'm like, okay. But I, the last friends I had to visit, they were like, you know what, Caitlin? I notice every single day you say how thankful you are. I would say, thank you, Mama Maui, every day.
Yeah.
Every day I was so grateful. Like, I just had so much gratitude. It's one of those places, like, it was magical, you know? So it is, it's pretty tragic that it is gone. But hopefully years will go by and they rebuild it. But I just, I don't know. I have, after how it all went down, I've just.
You lost trust and faith in your, in the government there. I don't. I mean, listen, I would totally feel the exact same way. And I totally feel the same way now, looking at it outside in.
Yeah.
I mean, we spend so much money on these, on other countries instead of our own, and it's really sad. And I know that when I listened to, you know, BJ Penn, and he was with another, some counselor lady, but anyway, she was in the Democratic Party and actually said, fuck you guys, I'm going to the Republican side because of the way that she was being treated and how she was seeing things on how they were doing things. And unbiasedly, she said, fuck you, basically. So, but it was really interesting to hear about how, I mean, it's so similar to what you're saying too. And the facts were there wasn't enough resources. There wasn't enough help. People are dying. I mean, people, we saw the videos too. And it was like, how,
and when we tried to help each other, they tried to stop it. How the, like, we took matters into our own hands, and then they, and then they tried to stop it. So I said, like, my friend's boyfriend, who, you know, is in the military, they denied him. He's like, let me help put the fire out.
Right.
He's the most, he was like one of the most qualified people, and they were like, nope, not your business. He's like, what do you mean? What do you mean it's not my business?
Right.
What the, you know, it just.
So in hindsight, the fire burnt to the ocean, and that's how it stopped, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Technically, I'm sure some fire departments helped somehow, but I mean, the fire went so fast. The hurricane winds just blew right through. Do you know, I mean, I can look it up right now. Do you know how fast the fire went through Lahaina?
I don't know exactly, no. It was fast, though.
I bet it was really fast.
It was fast.
I mean, just the videos that we've all seen before of the wind.
85 mile an hour wind.
That's,
you know,
really fast for a fire. And
there wasn't enough time. Even, I'm going to say this, even if they had their, like, the police had their shit together, even if a lot of people still would have probably died. It was so fast. But so much could have been
prevented.
When
did you go through, like, the zone of Lahaina?
Early in the morning. So when I did that little airport run. So that was, like, before 8 a.m., and that's when I had, like, trouble getting back, like, in my area. I was down there, and then I got to where I needed to be, and then I had, like, I had that, like, weird feeling. I drove back. Took me forever. Knocked on a couple doors. Like, I was checking on people, you know, and I checked on, like, who was supposed to be my landlord.
No, what I,
my landlady, but...
What I meant to say was, how do you... When you went back after the fire...
Oh,
when you're able to go back.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no. So how many days after the fire?
The next day.
Oh, so the next day you're able to go through the zone.
Well.
Kind of.
We shouldn't have. Like, they didn't have the, like, National Guard fully secured zones. Like, it wasn't fully secured yet.
Right.
So, and there is this back road. So the neighborhood that I lived in was called Waihikuli. And I used to call it Toontown because everybody lived there. I mean, more than 20 people I know lived in that neighborhood, you know? And there's this back road. It's where the sugar cane, they used to do sugar cane plantation up there. And they hadn't had it completely closed off yet. So my friend Gaia, they have the dragon fruit farm, whatever. Mm-hmm. So we called it the mansion. Their house survived. It's this huge house. They all work on the farm. Getting sidetracked. Anyways, we go before looting starts. Mm-hmm. We get all of, like, the non-perishable foods, you know, just grabbing everything. And it looked like a movie scene. It didn't look real. But we had, you know, our masks, bandanas on because, like, it's very toxic in the air. Like, it's, you know, It's like from, you know, like 9/11, people still would have like lung problems years later because of, you know, so we were
all the shit you're breathing. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were trying to be like protected, but we're like, you know, if your house is saved, like I'm going with you. I'm going to help you get stuff that you can. And we filled up tins and of, you know, just like soup and, you know, just the non-perishable foods, you know what I mean? Yeah. And so we were able to like give that to people too. Like that's how bad it was. I mean, when we walked in the house, it's just like full of ash, black everywhere. It was like really weird to see. And we just grabbed what we could to give to people too, because like, you know, everyone was hurting.
Wow. Yeah. So that's an amazing thing for you guys to give back.
Yeah. I gave up like most of my clothes that didn't burn to people.
Right.
Yeah.
So how long were you there? Well, here's another question. Do you know that there were people that were looting?
Well, so we went so not, close not after.
But did you hear about it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, we're smart people. We were like, that's going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to happen. People who have lost everything or, you know, they're going to find
some sort of resource.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You know, it's, you know, that kind of apocalyptic energy, you know, brings out the crazies too. And even with the community coming together, of course, there's going to be, you know, the people who are, you know, desperate and go on the bad side of things, if you will.
Sure.
So, I didn't see any for like my face, but I mean, I heard stories.
You saw enough though. If you're seeing dead bodies,
you know, that was gnarly.
So that's,
I should not have walked down there.
Right.
I had to see for myself.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked down there and I walked right back up and I just was like, nope.
That's enough. Yeah, right.
And I have a lot of friends who are in photography too, so they took their drones. And you know, there's so many cars, like all the cars are still there. There's, you know, they're slowly getting it to get like cleaned up now, but it's gonna be a decade before any real changes happen. And I think the biggest thing is the awareness I want to spread is to, for one, they still need help and like resources, to say the least. But to keep Lahaina like the way it was, I don't want it to be commercialized. Nobody does. All these rich people are trying to take over. Now it's like $6,000 for a one bedroom on the west side. Like now it's becoming impossible to live. So all these rich people are trying to swoop in and like buy the land, and it's just like that's not your land. And you know, it's like these generations and generations, you know, their house is burnt down, you know, like six generations, and they can't afford to live there anymore.
Interesting.
So all these rich fucks are coming in, and it's just, we're trying really hard not to have it super commercialized. You know what I mean?
Right. I think that it's going to be interesting to see. Yeah. Just by you saying that, it's almost kind of, it reminds me of like, you know, Western days of the Indians, you know,
mm-hmm.
It's just like we're moving in.
Yeah.
And who knows? So we're going back to the beginning, right? Conspiracy theory. Like,
right.
Who knows?
Who fucking
Maybe
knows?
There was a fucking laser and they're like, this was the perfect storm, the perfect wind.
That's, you know.
And people, and then the sick part about it, and you could say conspiracy or theory or not, but people with a lot of money that are invested, like they are already thinking four steps ahead.
They have so much more power than we even know already. So like I said at first, I was like, no. But then I was like, wait a minute.
Right.
That actually could be possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if that came out, but.
So what do you, so what was it like, you know, let's say how long did you stay there after the fire? Because I know that you moved back recently, but how long were you there? So I would say, 6 months?
So the fires happened on 808, which is the area code, which is weird, August 8th.
Right.
Super
weird. That is weird.
Yeah. And I kind of bounced around for a couple weeks. I just didn't have it figured out. Stupid guy I was seeing at the time completely ditched me. I was left at the airport by myself. Like, I took a shuttle because my car had no gas. There's no gas, you know? Right. So I, like, took this shuttle to the other side of the island because I was supposed to stay at his house. That didn't happen. And that's how I ended up at Noreen's house. Thank God. It was, a blessing in disguise. But I stayed there till right before Christmas.
Okay.
Yeah. I wanted to come home sooner, but it was hard. Like, I didn't lose everything, I had all of my belongings in my car. And, you know, especially how, like, life is nowadays, I'm not in, like, the market to buy a car when I don't, like, have a job and, like, you know, like, all this crap happened. Because
you didn't work, right, after the fires?
I remember going into work the day of, and they sent me home. They were like, oh, the power's out, you know.
Sure.
And, yeah, I haven't worked since.
Right.
Yeah, it's crazy. Thank God I got on appointment. But, shit. But, yeah. I wanted to come back sooner, but it was hard. It's expensive shipping things, like,
sure,
you know, so I'd go to Home Depot and I'd get the box and I just basically wait every unemployment check I got, I'd wait so I could ship a box. It's like $200 a box.
Yeah.
And I had like five of them. So, you know, and I had to ship my car. When I shipped my car to Maui, $1,075. When I shipped it back, $2,000.
Wow.
It almost doubled in price. It's like crazy.
Yeah, that's
so inflation. I couldn't just pick up and leave right after the fire, you know. It was a struggle.
What was the scene like there before you left? Was it still?
Yeah. I couldn't stay.
Right.
It's sad, you know. And where I was staying though actually ended up being on the other side of the island, so I didn't have to see it every day, which is nice. But every single time I drove through that tunnel and into town, I just like bawling tears. I'm like, there's my old house, like, there's my friend's house. And like some of the people you would never, ever, ever expect to leave island are gone.
Right.
You know, it's just crazy. It was one by one, everyone's leaving. And, you know, I was in the factor and people are still moving every day off island. One of my best friends, she just took her three kids to Texas, and her house didn't even burn down. It's just she was shoved out. It's hard to live there. Like, not only is it depressing, but it's because of the fire. It's ridiculously expensive.
Right.
It's just unreal.
Yeah, I would imagine if they start building again, which they're going to.
Mm-hmm.
The price is going to be extremely high. It's going to be all brand new stuff. And it's probably going to be commercialized. I mean, unless there's somebody that's going to be really, really fighting it. But however,
we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
And I do have faith that some good things in that sense are going to happen.
Sure.
But like I said, I mean, I can't tell the future, but there's definitely going to be some commercialized shit happening. And I couldn't bear to like stay and watch, you know, and like I almost feel guilty. Like I felt guilty leaving.
Yeah.
And when I was there though, I was trying to volunteer any day I could, you know, like my work was doing like 2,000 meals a day. I just was volunteering like wherever I could, you know, just like handing out water bottles, you know.
Yeah.
Just doing what I could.
It sounded like you were doing that on the daily anyway.
Yeah.
Just with helping out when you see people on the street.
Yeah. But I had this overwhelming sense of guilt moving away. I felt like I ran away, but I was like, you can't think of it like that. You have to like think about yourself, you know? I was like, I'm not the only one that moved, you know? A lot of people are moving. It's hard, and it would just definitely have dampened my mental health if I stayed, for sure.
Right.
Like, it's just, there's like an energy on the everywhere. It's just like eerie and depressing. I don't know.
Well, when you have something like that that's so tragic, and you have 100 deaths. If you want to think, morbidly or not, but like that's very eerie.
Yeah,
and the fact that it's still a ghost town is really sad. I mean, the fucking government should have already done something about it, but
slowly they've got, I don't know the exact number, but they got a couple houses, you know, cleaned, you know, properties or whatever. I'm like, great.
Some really rich people. Don't worry, we'll take care of you here.
Yeah. Yeah, it must be
so
nice.
Do you have anything like to plug? Like, do you have anybody that, you know, that listen to this podcast that they can find? Like your friend, you have his Instagram or?
What do you mean? Like somebody who's more.
Yeah, like you were saying that the guy that was like getting resources, like anybody that's there still that are doing stuff to help people.
Yes. Yeah, so
if they're listening.
Paele, He is like the biggest activist. He's pretty much, he's on like the face of every, that's him, like on the, if you can see that.
Yeah, I can
see
that.
The curly hair, yeah.
They can't see it, but I can see it.
Yeah, Paella, if you follow him on Instagram, he is basically the plug. He knows everything. So Paella is P-A-E-L-E, and then his last name is K-I-A-K-O-N-A. So
beautiful.
Follow him. He's for the people, dude.
Right.
He's doing everything he can. They have a like a camp out in front of all the beaches. They've been doing it for weeks to ensure like more like long-term housing. Cause now like they're trying to get tourists back in. And it's ridiculous. Tourists are taking pictures of people's houses burnt down. And I saw it on the side of the freeway. Like I was sick to my stomach. They're like, hee hee, ha ha. They're taking pictures of like the burnt down town. And I'm like, you know, these are the people that are trying to get back into the hotels because they're losing money. I'm like, well, what about the thousands of people who are still displaced? That's like what Paella focuses on, as the long term rentals and, you know, housing and all that.
Right. So there has to be some other relief, though. That's for sure.
Yeah.
We got to figure something else out. So, I mean, look, for you to, you know, come on and want to share your story about, you know, living in Maui. Like, honestly, it's really a couple things, like scary, because like you could have been in that situation and you're my family and that would fucking suck. Yeah. And two, it sucks for the people that went through it. It sucks for the people that, you know, had to swim into the ocean to avoid being burnt to fucking death. You know,
it was so scary for everybody.
Yeah.
And I mean, like you said, I can't imagine the people who swam for, I mean, most of them for about 15 hours.
Yeah. That's insane.
The kids, families.
The 90-year-old lady that you were talking about that swam for fucking 18 hours or some shit is wild, and she's a fucking hero. Like,
she's
Jesus,
a fucking G, dude.
Straight up.
And when I asked him, I was like, well, you know, he told me, and I was like, well, how is she now? Like, is she like fucked up? Like, right. He's like, no, she's fucking like just kicking. I'm like, that shit, dude. Yeah. If I age, I hope I age like her. Man.
Absolutely. We all do.
But like, you know, that's crazy. I mean, kids drowned, you know, and it's just, really crazy. It's something that like just people won't ever go through in their lifetime, but
definitely not. So there's a lot of souls, you know, there's a lot of things going on.
Yeah.
And I would imagine like people, I would hope that they would want to like go and pay respects, you know, but most likely they're trying to get a selfie for social media and say that they went
it's
there
sick.
Yeah.
You're sick in the head, dude. Totally. I'm like, you fucking sicko. Yeah. They ended up putting signs everywhere, like, don't take fucking selfies here.
Right.
You know? Good.
That's and awesome.
It's really cool. Like, there's a lot of, you know, just local people. Just you see Lahaina Strong painted everywhere.
Right.
Wherever they can, Lahaina Strong. And that's beautiful. Like, that's the shit I like to see and, like, the focus on, you know? I think now if people act like that, they're not going to get away with it.
Right.
Like, it's not going to be tolerated.
Right.
I wouldn't fuck with locals anyway.
Right. Well, I think it's great that, like I said, it's great that you came on and shared. You know, I think that, I think it's really great that you're here. I mean, it sucks that you had to leave.
Yeah, but we'll go back one day.
Yeah, so there you guys have it. Yeah. She's single, but she has four fucking brothers that will fucking rip your neck off. I'm one of them.
Dustin is kind of scary.
But I think it is great that you did come back. And I'll just share a little piece. You know, you have been really involved with the family too, and like, which that's been really nice. And at least talks about it all the time of how great it is that
I'm glad to be back.
You know, that you're back and you're going to be able to watch these kids grow up. That's really special. You know?
Yeah.
And so hopefully,
I knew eventually I was going to come back because like, your son Wyatt literally triples in size every other day.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, I just can't keep missing out on stuff, you know? Yeah. And so it was really cool to be there for Winona being born.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so it was going to happen, but I guess the fire is worth the time. It was the universe said it's.
Everything happens for a reason.
You know, it does.
We don't know what the fuck that is, but.
You know, I'm blessing in disguise, you know? Yeah. I always do like to look at the positive side of things, so.
Right.
It's good to be back, you know.
And so what's next? I mean, obviously you're going to
Still looking for a job.
Still looking for a job.
I was supposed to hear back from a job today and crickets. So that's reassuring. So yeah, anyone want to hire me?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I work in the restaurants. I'll do anything. Not anything. But
yeah, we don't need any sugar daddies around here.
Yeah, no. No. But
At least did find one too, so you never know.
I'm not gonna not say him down. No. No, I'm just kidding. But no, all in all, super tragic, and I just hope people don't forget about Lahaina. Basically, it's still an ongoing struggle out there. So, yes. You know, don't forget about them. And I am glad to be back. This was fun.
Yeah, no, I thank you for coming on. I think it's really neat that we were able to do it, you know? And listen, for me, it's a whole different podcast. Like, we're talking about your experience. Well, we always talk about experiences on this show, no matter what, you know, and it's majority of the time, you know, people shooting dope into, you know, their veins, or they're drinking a lot of alcohol, and then there's a lot of war story. But the thing of it is you told your side and what you saw and how tragic it was and people that are dying, and, you know, you lived it, and being a volunteer to help people.
Yeah.
That's what this podcast is all about. It's just the hope. Yeah. There's always
spread
hope.
Awareness where it needs to be spread, you know, full of people.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah. Bam, bam. All right, guys. Another show of the LFG 1904 show. Y'all know the fucking deal. Well, all right. Well, jamming. I want to jam it with you. We're jamming.